and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron will not be joining us today.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking with Candace Johnson. Candace is a mom of three girls and a chronic illness advocate. She shares her journey living with what many of us call the trifecta, POTS, MCAS, and EDS. We'll get into all those later. She also has small fiber neuropathy, and we hope that we can entice her to come back on for another episode to discuss that topic, because it's one that we have not discussed yet. I met her on social media, and her goal is to bring awareness, especially for people still searching for answers, and to remind others that they're not alone in this. Welcome, Candace.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Hi Candace. Could you tell us what events led to your diagnosis of POTS, MCAS, and Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, or the trifecta?
For years, I had symptoms no one could explain. It started with burning and tingling in my hands and feet, and later it turned into feeling faint, a racing heart, shortness of breath, especially during pregnancy. I started seeing a cardiologist, but initial tests didn't show much. It wasn't until 2019 when things got really bad that I was referred to a doctor who specialized in autonomic dysfunction. That's when I was diagnosed with POTS and small fiber neuropathy. About a year ago, I started having MCAS symptoms, breaking out in hives, flushing, reacting to random things. I found a new doctor. He was actually named Physician of the Year by Dysautonomia International. He reviewed my history and diagnosed me with MCAS and hypermobile EDS based on clinical signs. He's the one who told me I had the trifecta. And honestly, it explained so much, and I had never even heard of the trifecta until he brought it up to me.
Okay. And it must have been such a relief.
Yeah, it is. It's a mixed bag, because
right.
you hate to think, oh my goodness, I have three different diagnoses now.
Yeah.
However, typically it takes so long to get diagnosed. Mm-hmm. Once you do, you just feel a relief, like, ah, I can point to this.
And it's amazing that you were able to find not only someone who knows, you know, about dysautonomia, but
top of the heap.
Wonderful.
Would you mind sharing his name so that our listeners can have a name that they can refer to if they need it?
Of course. His name is Dr. Patel. He has an office in Covington, Louisiana.
Okay.
All right. Great. Thank you so much.
And
I'm going to make sure
I
put that.
He's awesome.
I'm going to put a link for his service on the website. That's wonderful.
Okay.
Candace, do you know how common the trifecta of these three conditions together, how common this is?
It's more common than people think, but it's also very underdiagnosed. These conditions overlap a lot, and once you have one, it's not unusual to find out you have the others too, like in my case. But because awareness is still catching up, a lot of people go years without answers, just like I did.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And how many kids do you have? Three?
I have three girls.
Okay, how old are they?
I have a 13-year-old, I have an 11-year-old, and a 9-year-old.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you kind of like watching to see whether, like, I gave Jean my genetic disposition for EDS. Are you kind of watching them to see whether or not they may have gotten it too?
Actually, I'm starting to see signs in my oldest. And, you know, I try to ignore some of the symptoms, mm-hmm. or explain it away, but it's becoming pretty obvious. I believe she also has hypermobile EDS. She's so showing signs of MCAS and also POTS. So okay. Unfortunately, I think she may have the condition as well.
Well, okay. Like I said, the only good thing about that is having knowledge in the back of your mind.
Exactly.
At least
you know what to do.
Yes.
Candace, was there a triggering event or health condition that may have led to the POTS symptoms?
Yes, I think it was a mix of childbirth and having an underlying genetic condition, EDS, that mm-hmm. I didn't know I had at the time.
Okay.
After I had my girls, my body just never fully bounced back. Then in 2019, everything just spiraled. I couldn't stand without feeling faint. My heart would race. And I started having intense adrenaline dumps almost every night. It was like my nervous system just completely mm-hmm. stopped regulating things the way it should.
Okay. Yeah, right. I know we posted a video online of, because it's hard to explain what, you know, like the symptoms of POTS, but it shows someone just trying to go about their day and they keep falling over because they keep having...
It was a comical video.
It was meant to be humorous, but it definitely illustrates how severe it is and how challenging it can be to go about your daily... Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like this morning, since yesterday... My pulse has been all over the place, and whenever I get a chance, I go and lay down because I know that I'm going to need the energy for later. So take the time when you can and rest.
Yes, I do the exact same thing.
Yeah. So did your healthcare team need to run any tests to arrive at the diagnosis that you were given?
For POTS, I had a tilt table test and wore a heart monitor that confirmed the rapid heart rate when I stood up. For EDS, I had a clinical evaluation and a skin biopsy that showed the small fiber neuropathy,
okay.
which is common in hypermobile EDS and POTS patients. For MCAS, my dysautonomia doctor diagnosed me based on my clinical history and symptoms. Mm-hmm. Things like flushing, rashes, GI issues, and breaking out in hives sometimes for no apparent reason. I mm-hmm. haven't had formal blood work yet, but I'm planning to get additional lab testing just to back up the diagnosis.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it sounds like they've been very thorough.
Right.
Yes.
Candace, how much have you and your healthcare team, or how have you and your healthcare team chosen to treat or actually like mitigate your symptoms?
It's a full-time job. For mm-hmm. POTS, I stay on top of my salt intake, fluids, electrolytes, and I wear compression socks often.
Mm-hmm.
I pace myself with physical activities. And I use cooling towels and fans when it's hot out. For MCAS, I take antihistamines, and I try to avoid known triggers like certain foods or messing with my flower beds when it's hot outside.
Okay.
EDS is more about joint support and being careful because my knees and ankles give out easily. And avoiding injury. It's
okay.
not perfect, but I've learned what helps me function.
Right.
That's
great.
I have a question on the compression socks. You said that you have small nerve neuropathy, which I do in my feet, which is why I have been very hesitant to wear them. I tried them once, and it was very... Actually...
Does it matter how intense the compression is?
Or do you wear the ones without toes?
I wear the ones with toes, but I make sure that the compression level isn't too much. I never get like
okay.
the highest level that they offer because
okay.
it's just too much. But even
right.
the lower level of compression still helps.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Well, then I'm going to try mm-hmm. that. I bought a pair with no toes. I was going to try that. but I'm looking for ideas, so I will try at the lowest level. Jean can order them
yes.
for me. My secretary over there. Candace, I'm not sure if you're aware, but like we said, we both have Ehlers-Danlos, and being genetic, I passed it on to Jean Marie, and my younger daughter says that she's not a zebra, but I have a feeling that she might be. So out of all of the people in your family, do you have any relatives like mother, father, aunts, uncles that might have passed it on to you? And then also, out of all of the possible symptoms of Ehlers-Danlos, which ones do you have and which ones bother you the most?
I'm pretty sure once I got diagnosed, I started noticing signs in my oldest daughter, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And even in some extended family, I've started noticing signs. My mom deals with a lot of back pain. She has scoliosis, a lot of pain in her hips. And she's also had a complete uterine prolapse, which okay. I have read that can be connected to mm-hmm. EDS.
Sure,
and
sure,
I also
yes.
I also had a grandmother that had a lot of abdominal hernias.
Yep.
Oh,
I know that.
Me too.
I just had surgery 10 days ago, and I already one popped through. Yeah, they're just very difficult.
My grandma, she had
difficult to manage
surgery.
Yeah,
and
very difficult to manage.
Keep on getting them, and it yep. got to a point where they were like, "We can't do surgery anymore." You know, she just had so many surgeries, and you know, she would just keep getting them, and
yeah.
we
so,
never knew that.
Yeah, so
it was
yeah,
a
that's where
condition. You know,
that, mm-hmm. yep, that's where it probably came from.
And Candace, going back to POTS, what are some of the symptoms that led you and your healthcare team to start looking at POTS as a probable condition? Okay.
I had been dealing with unexplained tachycardia, shortness of breath, and feeling faint every time I stood up for years. My cardiologist at the time couldn't figure out what was causing it. When my symptoms got worse, I switched to a new cardiologist who ordered a tilt table test. Once he saw the results, he realized it was likely something related to autonomic dysfunction and referred me to a specialist who understood POTS. That's
okay.
when things finally started to make sense.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Good, good. Yeah. If I remember right, it's because the blood vessels in the legs don't push the... Okay, all right, I'm moving on.
Thank you.
I go off script. Candace, it does seem like we're hearing more and more about POTS mm-hmm. Lately because of COVID. A lot of post-COVID people are getting POTS. Do you think that that makes it easier for you to get care?
Yes and no. More doctors have at least heard of it now, which helps. But getting actual care can still be really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Wait lists are long and treatment options are limited. Awareness is better, but we still have a lot of work to do.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And Candace, what is it like to exercise or exert yourself, especially in a very hot and humid environment? And how do you deal with that when you're living with POTS?
It's tough. Some days, just walking around my house feels like a workout.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned I can't just push through like I used to. It always backfires and flares up my symptoms. I pace myself and focus on gentle movement or low impact exercise when I can.
Okay.
It's slow progress, but it does help.
Okay, that's great advice.
Good.
Take it
yeah,
easy
take
and
it slow and easy.
Yeah, and low impact, yes.
Right. What are some of the less apparent parts of your life that have been affected by POTS?
Honestly, it's how unpredictable it is day to day.
Okay.
I've had to cancel plans last minute mm-hmm. or miss events, which leaves me feeling like a disappointment. not being able to keep up with my kids.
Sure.
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing and heartbreaking, but it's not you, it's the disease.
I bet your kids understand.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
They do, but at the same time, this is a condition that you can't see.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Right. Yes. Okay.
So it can be hard.
Right.
Yeah. That's understandable. Well, thank you for that. And I'm sorry that has to be hard to say. And I guess we don't even think about it, but you know, anytime you have a health condition, it also is going to affect your mental health as well, because they, go hand in hand. And MCAS, that's another part of that trifecta. Let's first tell our audience what MCAS, because we keep saying this abbreviation, the MCAS. Mm-hmm. But could you tell us what is it, and when did you realize that that might also be adding to like what you are dealing with on a daily basis?
MCAS stands for mast cell activation syndrome. It's when your mast cells overreact and release chemicals that they shouldn't, which causes allergic type symptoms. I started noticing symptoms about a year or so ago.
Okay.
Random allergic reactions, flushing, and full body hives, especially after things like working in my flower beds or getting ant bites. Even taking a hot bath could cause my face and ears to swell and turn bright red. It can come on suddenly, and that's what makes it so scary. My dysautonomia doctor recognized the signs quickly and diagnosed me based on my history.
Okay.
I'm planning to get additional blood work done soon just to back up the diagnosis, but it was already clear to my doctor what was going on.
That's great that you have a wonderful healthcare provider there.
Right. Kind of overall. But did you already see, or are you thinking of seeing, an immunologist or an allergist for MCAS, or maybe as far as treating it?
Not yet. Right now it's based on clinical signs from my dysautonomia specialist, but I do plan to follow up with additional blood work and eventually see an allergist just to confirm.
Okay.
Okay. Sometimes the wait list just to see an allergist in my area is pretty long.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and I know with allergists, a lot of testing is involved, and that can be very challenging.
Yeah.
Not that you can compare the two, POTS and MCAS, but which would you say affects you more on a day-to-day basis?
Definitely POTS.
Okay.
It's always there. Every time I stand up or try to do something normal. But MCAS flares can be intense and unpredictable, so it definitely adds another layer of stress. They're both tough in their own ways.
Sure. Okay.
Yes.
And then I guess that leaves us with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and you said that from just thinking about the history of your from your family, that your grandma probably has it. Have you been, mentioning to anyone in the family, by the way, you might want to go and have this checked out?
Yes, I actually have been, passing the message along.
Okay.
So my mom is in her 60s, and also her sisters and her brother.
Okay.
So they're kind of not into looking into further testing. I mean, they've had health issues, but they're just not wanting to dig into any of that any further.
Okay.
But I forgot to mention, I also have a younger cousin who is hypermobile, and he was diagnosed with POTS, I guess, about 6 months ago.
Oh, okay.
So I'm definitely seeing the signs in my extended family.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I think when you're older, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm older, I'm 71, I kind of don't want any more diagnoses piled on me. It's like, I've had enough. Thank you very much. But you should go, no, that's okay. I'm good.
If you know that you have it, it can influence, you know,
it can tailor how your
healthcare providers can have, you know, have advice for you on how to make things easier.
All right.
Yes, I agree. The biggest problem is, I think, for, you know, the older people in my family, mm-hmm. they would have to travel to get this care.
Okay. Yeah.
Doctors around here, mm-hmm. a lot of them have never even heard of EDS or the trifecta. Some of them are just starting to hear about POTS. Okay. So I have to travel 2.5 hours to see my POTS. Actually,
believe it or not, we're in Chicago.
Which has many university hospitals, right?
Oh, no. I travel 3 hours to see my POTS doctor in Indianapolis, Indiana. Yeah.
And the first time I kept falling over. I mean, I would fall over hundreds of times a day. And it was, you know, I would pass out repeatedly. And I took a balance test and they're like, your balance is fine. And I'm like, okay, I know there's something something is wrong. And we ended up having to go to California to Stanford for my first tilt table test.
Yeah.
This was, you know, some time ago, but, I was very grateful that they had it there. And now, you know, that you can get a tilt table test in Chicago. But at that time, you know, that was the closest healthcare provider that could diagnose me.
Yeah.
So I do understand. And yeah, I guess the more healthcare providers who learn about it and are able to diagnose these conditions, the better. But there's so much out there that, you know, they have to know everything.
So a call out to all medical students.
Yes.
Pay attention to people with POTS.
Yes. If someone's falling over all the time or even, having...
a lot of breaks.
Yeah. Well, breaks or sprains joints popping out.
Right.
Like you said, your mom with her hips.
Right.
Yeah,
and the prolapse.
Back pain. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Complete uterine prolapse. And then her mom, which is my grandma, had all the hernias. And once my doctor brought up EDS, it was like I was mind blown because I was like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
you know, all of this stuff that I thought was unrelated, you know, it all makes sense now.
Right.
Well, collagen is everywhere in your body tissue. I mean, it connects everything, including your blood vessels,
right? And we have covered Ehlers-Danlos syndrome several times on previous episodes,
and we talked about the fact that we have it,
right? But we also know too well that when we talk about a syndrome, then we're also talking about a range of symptoms that can be inconvenient or utterly debilitating. How have you managed to deal with your diagnosis on a day-to-day basis?
I deal with popping and cracking joints every day.
Okay.
I noticed this even when I was a kid. My knees and ankles feel like they're always wanting to give out, and I have fallen before. My ribs pop in and out of place often, and it hurts.
Ooh.
It definitely affects how I move through each day. I discovered during my skin punch biopsy to check for small fiber neuropathy that I don't numb up well with local anesthetic.
Okay.
And I found out eventually that it was from having EDS.
Mm-hmm.
And to think I went most of my life not knowing I had this condition.
Right.
Okay.
How about dental? Do you numb up with dental, with the shots?
So, I actually have really good teeth. I've never had a cavity, and I'm 35.
Oh,
but
wow.
My dentist wants to take out my wisdom teeth, and I'm terrified because I've heard that people with EDS don't numb up well, and then also the epinephrine that they use in the numbing shots can trigger POTS symptoms, so I'm kind of nervous to have it done.
Can you request to be put asleep? You know, like Twilight, they call it?
Yes, and I thought about it, just undecided on how I want to move forward.
Right, the risk benefit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to balance it there.
Well, sure. One thing you could do is come to an understanding with your dental person that if you're not numb yet, back off, give it time. I know with me, it used to take about 20 minutes before I would numb up. They would come in and say, okay, you're numb now. No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me see. Do you feel that? Mm-hmm. Hell yes. I'm sorry. There you go again. Mm-hmm. So,
but
if
also
you come to an agreement
and
they
also,
understand that this happens with Ehlers-Danlos, it should be okay. I think you'll be okay.
But there's also, there's different types of numbing medication.
Yes.
And they last for different amounts of time and they could usually mix a cocktail. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
You can get the kind without epinephrine in it.
Okay.
That way you won't have a flare up in your POTS symptoms.
Sure.
But it doesn't work as well. It doesn't last as long. So there's pros and cons to both types.
Okay.
Well, but kudos to you for being so diligent with your dental care that you haven't even had. That's amazing and wonderful.
Yes.
And I mean, truly.
Oh, that's about the only thing that's not falling apart on me.
Right, right. The thing that got both Jean and I with our dental, I have lost all of my teeth now, is the GERD. Have you been diagnosed with GERD?
The gastrointestinal reflux.
The reflux from the stomach that goes up your esophagus?
Oh, yes. I have a ton of stomach issues. Slow digestion. I'm always bloated. I always feel like I need a belch and always feel like a pressure in my chest. It's pretty miserable.
Yep. That's very
especially
typical.
At night. That's the worst.
Oh,
I have a hard time falling asleep because my stomach gives me so much trouble.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. They recommend strongly do not eat too close to bedtime and raise the head of your bed or sleep on
elevated.
A bunch of pillows if possible so that gastric reflux doesn't come back into your mouth. All of my teeth were eroded from the amount
we
of...
We also, I mean,
stomach
total sidebar, but 10 years ago, we moved to an area that does not have fluoride. And
oh, wow.
And
we're on a well.
And it was pretty soon after that we had issues.
Yeah.
Candace, what support have you received during your healthcare journey? What role have your friends and family played?
My husband and kids have been amazing and patient with me. One of my very best friends is also dealing with chronic illness. So we have been able to lean on each other, and it's nice having someone to vent to that understands.
Oh, sure.
Also, the online chronic illness community has helped me so much. Being able to connect with people who actually understand what this life is like has been a huge comfort and source of strength for me because I don't get that much in real life.
Okay.
Do you work full time?
No, actually, I don't.
Okay. All right. Because I know a lot of people with the trifecta have difficulty holding down a job.
Yeah.
Yes.
Could you go ahead?
I used to be a substitute teacher at my girls' school, and there was a few times that I felt really faint, like I was going to pass out. And as much as I enjoyed it, I kind of realized, you know, what if I actually do pass out one day?
Yes, yes.
I don't want that, and I don't want my girls to be at school and scared, and it's a lot of stress on my body. So I just had to kind of give it up.
Could you tell us what you use to alleviate your symptoms day to day and if recreation is part of your therapy?
Yes, the little things in life help a lot these days. On those flare days, the thing I enjoy the most is a warm bubble bath. Not too hot because I have MCAS and I will break out in hives, but a warm bubble bath is something I always look forward to when I don't feel well. I enjoy joking around and being silly with my husband and kids and watching my middle daughter play softball.
Oh.
Sometimes still doing the things you love can make you forget just for a moment that you are chronically ill.
Yep.
I celebrate the little wins, like getting through a shopping trip or messing around in my flower beds without having an allergic reaction, pacing and rest, or a big part of my therapy too.
Sure.
That sounds wonderful. Are there any tools that you use or equipment or supplies that help you with your day-to-day activities?
Definitely. Compression socks, electrolyte packets, my current favorites are the LMNT brand and Waterboy.
Okay.
A portable misting fan is like a must-have in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
I use an Apple Watch to keep track of my heart rate. I also keep a blood pressure machine and allergy meds on hand at all times.
Okay.
Cooling towels and a mini ice chest with ice water in it are a must-have in Louisiana in the summer months. Anytime I go outside, I make sure I have my misting fan, my cooling towels, and my little ice chest with ice water.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's probably great advice for anyone in Louisiana.
This summer has been rough.
Candace, what advice do you have for someone who's been recently diagnosed with POTS, EDS, or MCAS?
Take it one day at a time. It's a lot of information at once. It can be scary. You don't have to figure out everything overnight. Find doctors who truly listen to you. Advocate for yourself and look for community, online or in person. This diagnosis isn't the end of your story. It just gives you a name for what you have been going through. And that's a important first step.
Excellent advice.
Yes,
we can see why you're such a great advocate on social media, for sure.
Thank you.
Candace, before we wrap up this episode, could you tell us how we can learn more about you and your advocacy? Can you share some of your social media links?
You can find me on TikTok and YouTube at The POTS Whisperer. I post about POTS, MCAS, EDS, and chronic illness life in general. Sometimes serious, sometimes funny, but I always keep it real.
That's amazing. Thank you. Yeah, and it's been wonderful to speak with you, and we really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to join us today.
Thanks so much for having me. This has been great.
And thank you, Candace. If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastgx@yahoo.com or info@podcastdx.com through our website, podcastdx.com, and we're also on Facebook, Pinterest, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. If you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast.
As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard of this podcast. The views and opinions of the guests and the hosts of this show are not necessarily those views or advice from Podcast DX, LLC.
Till next week.